Right. Welcome to our members-only episode of Query. Query is a show that I, Stephen Hackett, do with my co-host, Serenity Caldwell, and we take listener questions and answer them. So questions about software or hardware, or recently firmware, which is a whole new world. And so each week we answer two longer questions, and then we do the speed run where we do three questions pretty quickly, so five questions each week. And we thought for the member episode that we would take that format and sort of mix it up a little bit. So I've been looking forward to this a whole lot, Serenity. I know you've done, like, this idea came out of your head, like, fully formed, which is awesome. So I'm excited about this.
This should be a fun one. Hold on to your hats and your glasses and your 1980s briefcases, and let's take a trip, shall we?
Let's do it.
A lot of talking about Macintosh recently, but today, for the first time ever, I'd like to let Macintosh speak for itself.
Hello, I am Macintosh. It sure is great to get out of that bag.
So, Serenity, why should I buy a Macintosh? This new computer from Apple, why should I care about it? Why should I look at spending all this money?
Well, you know, Stephen, my friends and I in the computer club have been debating this a lot because, you know, it looks like, you know, I mean, what's wrong with my Apple II, right? Like, my Apple II is pretty cool. Yeah. You know, there's these upstart companies that are playing around with some other stuff. But here is the truth. The Mac has GUI. Like, it has this beautiful GUI interface that is just, it's simple, you know? It is not the complex coding environment of green and black, you know, green text on black screen that we have come to know and love. We don't need to learn BASIC anymore to interact with a computer. And while, you know, don't get me wrong, I love me some Fortran and some BASIC and some punch cards. I don't actually see a problem with making computers more user-friendly. You know, also, heck, you know what's really cool? You don't have to navigate through your text with a keyboard. Instead, because you have this beautiful graphical interface, it has this crazy thing called a mouse that connects to a digital pointer. I know, it is kind of a silly name.
A silly name.
I guess it kind of looks like it. You know, it has like a little, it's a little oval and it has like a little tail. I don't know. Those Apple people are a little bit, you know, they're a little hippy dippy. So I'm not too surprised.
Yeah.
But you know what? In practice, it's really cool. And on top of that, it's not just like, you know, we've got our text editor and you know, you can still play around with stuff. But what I really, really like about the Mac, and this may not surprise you given how much you know that I like drawing, but there's an app built in on the Macintosh where I can draw. I can draw digitally on a computer with this mouse where I point to where I want, you know, my drawing to start, and then I use this this button on top of the mouse, and I click down, and I can actually drag around and make pictures. And they even have these weird things called stamps, where you can kind of like decorate like preformed pictures around your existing drawing. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still chicken scratch. It's nothing like using a pencil, am I right? But it's still pretty cool. It may just be a fad. It may just be something that's, you know, fun and gimmicky and God knows too expensive. But I really find it kind of special, you know?
Wow, I think you've talked me into this. Although I do know BASIC. Take it out of my cold dead hands, I guess. But the mouse though, the name. Can't swallow that one.
That's okay. You want to call it something else? I'm sure we could brainstorm.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way the name mouse sticks around.
No,
for
no.
40
God.
Years.
There's IBM's no going to come up with something better, let's be honest.
No doubt.
Have you made sure that all of your electronics are, you know, Y2K compatible? I know we're still a few years away, but I've heard that they're really just going to completely, you know, ruin your toaster or something, or your microwave.
I mean, I've been so busy preparing my Millennium Party /Millennium Bunker. Yeah, I'll get around to it, but you know, We may go from a party situation to a bunker situation very quickly. It's important to have that egress worked out. So I've been really tied up with that.
End of the world party. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Well, you know what? Speaking of the end of the world, did you hear that Steve Jobs is killing off the Mac clone program?
And we don't have to extend those licenses. Nothing in our original license ever said we did. So we would be glad to. We love to license software. We'd like to sell you our software, but you got to pay a fair price for it. Not an exorbitant price, just a fair percentage of the costs. And we outlined what that was. We asked them to do that. I personally asked them to do this. And they basically told me to go pound sand. Being a man of perseverance, I asked 5 times over the next 3 weeks. Each time we were told to go pound sand, we finally made the decisions we have to make.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not a huge fan of seeing, you know, System 6 and 6 and 7 running on PCs. But at the same time, like, I'm a little worried. I love my Mac operating system. You know how much I adored my Mac Plus and I used it forever. You know, I don't want to see the Mac die because not enough people are buying the hardware and then the software is kind of languishing.
Yeah, I can't argue with the software point. It's, you know, they tried so many things to revitalize this and with buying Next, clearly that's the way forward. But, you know, the clone programs, it's only been around like 2 years, I think, since 95, just last year. So, like, you know, I agree with you. Like, I like my Mac hardware, but then I look at what Power Computing is doing. They were the first Mac OS machine to reach 225 megahertz and at work making audio. You know, that power can be really useful to me. So I see this and, like, it's really tempting to go buy one instead of a Mac. But, you know, maybe that's the point. Like, maybe, you know, Apple is losing money. I know that lots of people, I know we've been talking about it for a couple of years now. Like, Apple needs to turn something around. But as long as they are building powerful Macs for people like me, then I'm probably okay with it. But Apple needs to prove to me as a professional user that they care about my needs. And I'm not sure they've done that the last couple of years, and Power Computing has. And so I'm a little torn on this.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I mean, gosh, I love my PowerBook Duo, but it is just not cutting it these days. I want to see something bold from Apple. I want to see something that's not just another beige box, but we'll see. You know, most of all, I just don't want to see them go out of business. And here's hoping. Come on, Steve, let's turn it around.
I think he's got it. We'll see. We'll see.
And this is what the front of it looks like. Boom. That's iPod. I happen to have one right here in my pocket, matter of fact. There it is, right there. So, this amazing little device holds 1,000 songs, and it goes right in my pocket.
All right, so I know you're a big music fan. I know that you like listening to music when you go to the gym and go work out and when you skate. And I would imagine that that's difficult, right? Because portable CD players are big and bulky and skip protection's not very
good. Not great.
And so I'm wondering, have you seen this new iPod thing? Is this something that you're interested
yes.
in?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about this. Okay. So, you know, you're absolutely right on CD players and skip protection. I had a Discman and I probably used that thing for 5 months before I put it aside. I mean, who wants to listen to the same CD over and over again? Especially when you've got, you know, all of these cool things online. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating stealing music. I think that you should buy the music that you want. But it's so easy to just enjoy so many different types of music with Napster, and now this upstart LimeWire is coming out. Like, I've moved away from the idea of just, no, I just only want to listen to one artist and 11 songs, and if I accidentally bump my music player, it's gonna be gone forever. And you know, I had a mini disc player for a while, and I liked that, but it was there wasn't a ton of space. I couldn't really put a ton on it. And the iPod, oh man, the people who are, you know, my friends who have stupid creative Rios are going to be so jealous at this thing. I have to admit, Steven, I went out and bought one, and I'm now the first person at my work who has one, which is kind of ridiculous. And yes, I realized that it was $400, but if you love music, 5 gigabytes in a device that is, you know, about the same size as a mini disc player, a little bit thicker, that is so much more space than the 40 or 60 megabytes. Oh my God. Or the creatives that, what, have 500 whole megabytes. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
My iPod has, what, 10 times that? It's crazy.
And it's just this, I mean, what blows me away is the size of a pack of cards. Like, it's just this little thing. And, you know, I can't imagine that, like, portable media ever passing this. Like, it seems like, yes, it's expensive, and, like, you have to have a Mac, which, of course, you do. And you've already ripped a bunch of CDs because you were doing mini disc stuff, like a crazy person. So if you kind of meet all the, check marks, it seems like a really good thing. You know, I'd like Apple to maybe work on that price a little bit. But the thing just seems like a little magic box.
Oh, man. You know what my favorite part is, Stephen? Here's the honest truth. I love walking around and having my own personal soundtrack. But more than anything, I love fidgeting with that click wheel. It's just, it's mm-hmm. hypnotizing being able to move it around. Apple really has that tactile sensation, right? Where it feels good to touch and play with while you're playing with music. It's a really cool design. Man, I hope they never change that. It's so much fun.
I mean, I would be okay with a little door with a firewire port.
That's true.
So like you know, you're eating a snack. You're gonna have some sandwich down
there. It's so dirty. Yeah, putting it in my pocket. Gosh. Yeah, I agree with you there.
A little piece of scotch tape. Yeah, you'll be all set.
Just a little bit.
Well, enjoy your personal soundtrack.
Excuse me while I go dance.
Today, we're introducing 3 revolutionary products of this class. The first one is a widescreen iPod with touch controls. The second is a revolutionary mobile phone. And the third is a breakthrough internet communications device. So, 3 things: a widescreen iPod with touch controls, a revolutionary mobile phone, and a breakthrough internet communications device. An iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator. An iPod, a phone. Are you getting it? These are not 3 separate devices. This is one device. And we are calling it iPhone.
Oh, I kind of feel like my mind has been blown a little bit, so I apologize if my brain is not functioning and making words sound good all right. So we just watched a keynote where Steve Jobs just announced that Apple is actually making a phone. And it's not just it's not just that Motorola rocker. It's like, it is the phone from the future. It is a multi-touch phone. And granted, I haven't put my hands on one yet, but you know, a couple people who I trust pretty highly have, and they are pretty darn excited about it.
Yeah, it seems like this just came out of nowhere. I mean, there've been rumors of a phone. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be iPod based, like kind of built around the iPod. I mean, look how far we've come since you got your first one 6 years ago.
I know.
But that original one looks like a brick now. And then this thing is out and it's got this touchscreen. Then you just scroll through your contacts, or you open a map and you can search for a Starbucks. You can do your email. Like, it, you know, some of the stuff's around. Like, I have a Palm, and I kind of have some of this on my phone now. But after seeing those pictures from Macworld, my Palm just looks like a gross turd. Like, it's got all these buttons on it, and it's like hard plastic. And Apple just, It really seems like they're years ahead of anyone.
Oh my God. It looks like a Mac clone in comparison to an iMac, right? It's just, it has all these beautiful, you know, rounded edges. The thing looks like the monolith from 2001. It's beautiful. It's like this black face and this, you know, this aluminum backing. But here's the thing. I think this phone is the future. I am completely wowed by it. But I'm currently using a Sony Ericsson 710A, and I feel like this is blasphemy, but I think I might stick around with my Sony Ericsson another year. Because yes, I agree with you. I think this thing is the future, but what's up with that terrible camera? Like, my Sony Ericsson has a 2-megapixel camera. I've taken photos on that thing that look almost as good as my digital Olympus. It's nice. And in comparison, I'm like, come on, Apple. Like, you've come so far. This entire, I mean, why am I critiquing something that's amazing, right? But I just, like, the biggest thing for me right now when I use my phone is, yeah, I like having AIM on my phone. But,
yeah, me too.
But it's nice. But I find that I'm just using my phone more to take pictures than to actually make phone calls, which, God, that sounds crazy, but it's, you know, it's smaller than my Olympus. I can put it in my pocket. So I'm kind of bummed about that. Also, I don't even think the iPhone can do AIM, right? Like, it doesn't have apps.
It doesn't. So you're stuck with something like the Ericsson for that, or, you know, Palm OS, you can do apps there as well. Cool, like me with your Hot Sync. What I'm excited about, though, is that, I mean, look how well the iPod and iTunes and Mac OS X work together, right? So if you buy a new album on iTunes, you can sync it right over. Now, if you have a newer iPod, you can sync photos over to it. And I expect that that's just going to be even more true for the iPhone. So they showed contacts and calendar syncing. And I use calendar for, like, all of my classes. Like, I know when everything is. I put homework assignments on my calendar. I do a lot of that stuff. And so to have that on my phone, I'm really excited about, because that works really well for me elsewhere. And sometimes with the Palm, like, I'm using this Hot Sync conduit with iSync, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and it can be really frustrating. And so I hope, at least, because Apple's making all of it, that it just all works really well. And, like, yeah, like, if I do this, like, it's a lot of money. If I do it, you know, I'll lose some stuff that I have on the Palm, like AIM, and I got some other stuff that I like to use. I have a little, like, to-do list app on there and some other things. But I wonder if it's going to be worth it to have everything just work so smoothly and be like an extension of my PowerBook.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, that would be very, very cool. Especially, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll sync up with Jot Mac. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. I got a bunch of stuff there. I'm going to use it for my email. So, but yeah, it does seem like it's such a big leap ahead. I'm really, like you, you know, I was kind of reading some stuff and listening to a couple, you know, shows about it, and it really seems like Apple's just leapfrogged everybody here.
Yeah, I am very excited for what they're doing. I still think I might wait a year, but I'm definitely on the iPhone train.
Well, things like browsing the web. That's a pretty tall order. Something that's better at browsing the web than a laptop? Okay. Doing email. Enjoying and sharing photographs. Video, watching videos. Enjoying your music collection. Playing games. Reading ebooks. If there's going to be a third category of device, it's going to have to be better at these kinds of tasks than a laptop or a smartphone. Otherwise, it has no reason for being. Now, some people have thought that that's a netbook. The problem is, netbooks aren't better at anything. They're slow, they have low-quality displays, and they run clunky old PC software. So they're not better than a laptop at anything. They're just cheaper. They're just cheap laptops. And we don't think that they're a third category device. But we think we've got something that is. And we'd like to show it to you today for the first time. And we call it the iPad.
You know, it seems like such a long time ago when the iPhone was introduced. I mean, it was 2007. Here we are in 2010, 3 years later. I feel like I don't even remember a time before the iPhone. Like, I ended up buying one quicker than I thought I would. And I've had the 3G, and what they're doing with it's really exciting. Right? We have apps now, like all this great stuff. And now I was taking that recipe and making a 10-inch tablet called the iPad, which is like kind of a stupid name.
So
but,
dumb.
You know, I don't know if I'll ever get used to it, but it really, like, I'm excited about this device, but at the same time, like, what does this offer me that, like, my phone and my MacBook Pro, like, I don't feel like I have a hole anywhere in my life for this. That doesn't mean I'm not interested in it, and I may end up impulsively buying one the night they come out without telling my wife in advance, but, you know, that, short of that, like, it's just, I don't know, like, where do you think this fits? I just don't know.
Oh, my gosh. My first instinct when I saw this is, oh my gosh, Apple has made a Wacom Cintiq. you know, it's maybe not quite that far. Obviously, Apple didn't make a stylus. There's a whole big reason, like, there's foo-farah about that that I'm not even going to touch with a 10-foot pole. But I'm really excited as an artist about the prospect of a 10-inch multi-touch screen. We've been visualizing these things, like with Minority Report and everything else, about multi-touchable content. And the iPhone is pretty great for single touch. And I mean, technically it is quote unquote multi-touch, but mostly what I'm doing with my iPhone is just using my thumb to tap or swipe or, you know, minimize something. But with an iPad, I really feel like the potential is there for full 10-finger input. I don't know, you know, where it's going to go. I don't know, as you said, Stephen, if people are going to find a market beyond. But like the biggest things that I see off the top of my head is, A, I cannot wait to start drawing with that thing. Even if my drawings are scribbles at first, I really think that, you know, when real artists get a handle on this, they're going to make some incredible stuff with it. And the other big one, honestly, is looking at that screen. Oh my gosh. I already love, you know, using my Kindle. I can't imagine, you know, having a screen as big and beautiful as that to read on. Think about what it could do potentially for textbooks. Think about what it could do for a kid's backpack. If they could just carry around an iPad, maybe even have access to the internet. You know, there's a lot of potentially really cool things that can come with a 10-inch multi-touch screen. I don't know if it's going to replace a laptop, but at the same time, does it need to? Like, I feel like you just kind of have to buy the thing that makes sense for your life. You know what else, actually, I'm really excited to do on it? And this is kind of silly, but I really, really like the idea of watching Netflix on it. You know, that was mentioned, and instantly I've been doing some t-shirt folding for my buddy Jeff over the last couple months, and usually we just listen to podcasts, and don't get me wrong, I really love my podcasts, I really love my Radio Lab, but I could seriously use something to stare at so I'm not, like, falling asleep on these t-shirts, because, you know, when you're in hour 7 of folding t-shirts, you start to get a little crazy. I'm like, think of all of the TV I could watch.
That sounds terrible.
Right?
You gotta find different friends.
Oh, that's no, it's fun. Christmas rush.
Yeah, come over and do a bunch of manual labor. It's
I get paid. You know, it's not the worst.
There you go. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. Well, you're going to have to do that to buy this thing.
Yeah.
Although I will say $499 is cheaper. Everyone thought this would be $1,000.
Oh, my God.
It's really cool to see they brought it down so cheap. You know, during the demo, Steve Jobs, he's sitting there in a chair. He sort of leaned back, sort of more relaxed way of going about, you know, spent a lot of time reading the web and doing some stuff on the internet. That's exciting to me, having, you know, I don't like really reading at my laptop, and my phone is kind of small, even with reader mode, you know, it's not great. Something a little bit bigger to read the web on would be nice, but I kind of want to see what else developers can do with this. You know, what apps are supported for this early on, I think will make a big difference. You know, I don't think this is going to be as big as the iPhone. I don't think it's as important, but I think that I'm interested. I guess I kind of want to see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm really interested in what Apple is going to do with this. Not just, I mean, This is clearly, I mean, Steve Jobs sounds as passionate over the iPad as he was about the iPhone, as he was totally about the iPod. Like, he clearly has something invested in this, and I want to see where his vision plays out. I mean, every single product that he has unveiled since coming back from Apple, maybe not the Cube, but I liked the Cube, let's be honest, but every single product, really, he shows this passion and this trust in building it into something special. And I think about, you know, the iPod. No one really cared about the iPod for the first year and a half, 2 years that it was out, until it came to Windows, until it, you know, we came out with the smaller iPods. You know, I want to see what Apple does with the iPad. Will they make smaller iPads? Will they make table-sized iPads? What are they going to do with this software? I mean, the software still kind of feels like iPhone software. As you said, mm-hmm. like with the developers, hopefully they can do something cool. I don't know. I'm really excited, Stephen. And I can't wait to get one, because, heck, $499, I will pay that to play around with a giant drawing tablet any day.